It's sorry to keep you standing up along the walls, and I passed by here on another appointment about an hour and a half ago, and the people were turning away from the door, going away. I met Billy out there, and he said the place had been ready for the service to start since this afternoon. So we just had this little meeting here. We never even put it in the local papers. So we just have a little time of fellowship. And now it's always busy, as the out-of-town people would know, that here at the home place, it's always on the jump, running from place to place and squeezing. So I'm kind of getting used to it. I just get to a place I don't let it bother me as much as possible. And, you know, you have to spend just a little bit of time, and should be more, with the Lord. If you don't do that, then you don't come into the meeting with the freshness of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And when you come in like today has been, where it's been just one great glamour, well, it's kind of hard sometimes for me to come in to keep from being just a little pinched and pushing, you see, and get myself upset. Want to do that, then I just can't find the Holy Spirit anywhere in it. So I feel sorry, oh, for people who stand and in the aisles and around the outside, and they come up, look in, get in their car, and go back away. I wanted to get the high school down here to hold just a few nights meeting, but the school's going on at this time, and it's kind of hard for me to get it during that time. But I want to say that I certainly do appreciate every one of you, inside and out, and for your fine cooperation, and for all that you have done. And this morning in the Sunday school, I thank the people for the offering that was given to me last night, which was an unsolicited offering. Frankly, I told the pastor here, our beloved pastor, Brother Neville, and them, I'd rather they would not do that, but they did it anyhow. So I just wanted to report on it. Now, this is a small place, and it won't seat over about 300 people, I don't think. And the offering was $324, which means that they average about $1 apiece. That's the best offering I ever had given me in my life for the amount of people. Usually, they average about 24 cents a person. 25, 27 cents is a great offering to a person. But this averaged around $1 apiece. And I certainly do appreciate that. And maybe I didn't get this morning to express to some of you, we found jelly, a box of jelly, sitting on the steps. And little presents has been sent in to us. The wife and I wish to express our thankfulness to you people. I'm sure that the best that we know how, all of it be for the kingdom of God. And it makes me just feel like I wish I had a great big place where we could just continue to go on.
Amen.
For a long time.
Praise
and
God.
Minister to the people.
Amen.
But even tonight, after the service, I'm supposed to go, which I won't be able to leave tonight, but early in the morning, to go away. I get back next Saturday night and leave Sunday morning again for Colorado. And just one right after the other going. And then my next overseas meeting comes in January, which is in Australia and New Zealand and through there. Now, I want you to pray for me. I certainly do desire your prayers. And then I want to all of us to be grateful to Almighty God.
Amen.
Who has done such great things for us in this little meeting.
Yeah.
I believe for the amount of time, there has been more accomplished in this meeting than any meeting I ever held in my life at this tabernacle. The Lord had just seemed to open up the blessings.
Amen.
I have thought maybe doing this meeting that from a vision that I have had, that my ministry is going to be changed to a better and greater ministry. Now, it's just going to happen just as sure as you people have heard these other three ministries predicted, or these other two. This one will be just like that, only greater. But the first night, I just called the people up here to the altar. Went right straight back to discernment. The second night, I've taken them into the room Went right straight to discernment. And the last two nights then, we have brought them here on the platform, just straight to discernment. But just to report some things. A blind minister received his sight at the platform.
Amen.
And two little girls last night sitting in the wheelchair with diseases that no one knows what it is, no doctor. Their feet weighed big, their toes dropping off, fingers dropping off. And nothing could be done for them. And just while the Spirit was anointing, I went over and in the name of the Lord Jesus cursed that disease. And up out of the wheelchair they went. And this morning, walking around here in the tabernacle like any other child, and come over and was baptized with Christian baptism right here in the pool.
Amen.
This morning.
Amen.
Well, I had a few minutes of study a while ago, and there were some friends of mine. Brother Hoover, a minister from down in Kentucky, just passed by and left word with my wife that last night in a calling line out in the audience, women who did not have any prayer cards or anything, just sitting out there praying, and there had been one woman that had not eaten for I forget how long a meal, gross in her stomach, all filled up. And the Lord called her and healed her, and this morning she got up and ate a normal sized breakfast, and here's somewhere tonight.
Amen.
And others that was telling about. And oh, the time would not permit of the things that our Lord has done. So to us that gives us courage. To know that it's just near, something's fixing to happen. Great. Last evening, after the service, after the message, I never at any time ever seen the Holy Spirit ever anoint people any greater than it did last night. We're looking forward to another tonight. And now pray for me. And I want to read some of God's blessed Word. And before we read the Word, let's just talk to Him with our heads bowed just a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to Thee tonight maybe just a little tired in the body, but oh, how our spirits are refreshed.
Amen.
The signs of the living God, that He's with us and blessing us and giving to us that which He promised, the exceedingly abundantly above all that we could do or think. And if we have found grace in Thy sight to believing on Thy Son, the Lord Jesus, we would ask tonight that You would visit us again with a double portion of Thy Spirit. May it be poured out in great power and measures upon every person here to believe the gospel and to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Save those who are savable tonight, Lord, and heal those who are ready for healing. Grant it, Lord, and as we see the people pressing in, standing in the doors, hundreds turned away from the little church, it reminds us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That in the days when He visited us here in a form of flesh, the press was so great they could not even get to Him with a man and had to bring Him through the roof of the building. And we pray, God, that tonight that everyone's had to press in this way shall be rewarded as that man was.
Amen.
Bless Thy Word as we read it, and may it be a lamp, a light unto our path. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It was just reported to me just now that the girl that I called on this morning, an alcoholic that had been called out in the meeting in Chicago, it was that she was sitting in a balcony when the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said she was an alcoholic, and five great doctors of Chicago had given her up. The Alcoholics Anonymous had given her up. And she was called out of Thus Saith the Lord. She was healed. She's never craved a drink.
Amen.
From that time on.
Thank God.
And another little lady up in the balcony above her, which was a friend of hers, that they lived in Calumet City, if anyone knows what that is. That's the borderlines where it's worse than Paris, France. All kinds of evil going on. And told her that she was a dope peddler. And she was a dancer to Fred Astaire. And her father resented it, but she raised up and said, Dad, the man is exactly right. She now is married, the little girl, and is on her road out with her husband preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Rosella is a mission worker from every jail service and everything that she can get into, telling alcoholics that there's a hope, and that's in Christ.
Amen.
She's been very much burdened for her father. No more than day before yesterday, on a 10-minute private interview, the girl has been a definite supporter of the meetings for the last 4 or 5 years, that she told me in a little 10-minute report out at the trailer on an interview that said, Brother Ram, whatever you do, I'm terribly burdened for my father. He loves you, but he just won't come to Christ. I said, Rosella, God knows how to do that.
Amen.
He knows how to make him do it. And the news comes now that he's buried beneath a carload of limestone. Let us pray for him. Lord, at that mouth of that faithful daughter,
Amen.
And him trapped down there that could die beneath it, God grant that he won't, but his soul will look up and remember that you are God who can answer prayer under a limestone pile as same as you could in the belly of a whale.
Amen.
Or in the furnace with the fire, or in the den with the lions.
Amen.
You remain the same. Bring him forth, Lord, a washed Christian.
Amen.
We know that all things work together for good to them that love
Amen.
You. And we pray that this will be one of those things as we commit it
Hallelujah.
To you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
In the reading of the Word tonight in the book of 2 Kings, I wish to read in the second chapter for just a little text to find a context, God willing. And it came to pass that when the Lord would take up Elijah unto heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry ye here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets were there at Bethel, came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went to Jericho. And the sons of the prophet were there at Jericho, came to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elisha said unto him, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. And they too went on. May the Lord add his blessings to his word. My subject for tonight is God called man. And I will try to be just as briefly as can because we've got a great prayer line coming up just in a few minutes. But just to give you a little look at the times that we're living. We hear this cry on the radio and in different places, and coming from sincere hearts, Lord, give us revival in our time. And from letters from Christians around the world, we hear that cry. And it does something to your heart. It's inspiring. It's uplifting. It's quickening to the soul to hear the people of the Lord call for a revival. And God has made a promise. If the people that are called by my name shall assemble themselves together and pray, then I'll hear from heaven. And so we tonight want to think on that and remember that in the midst of all this cry, God cannot send a revival till He's got man in shape to take it. We cannot have a revival until we get man. God called man. God trained man. That's not trained up in the schools of theology and of education, but rugged man of faith that God has brought up in the school of His rugged training. Man who are not afraid to face the fire. Man who has come in the presence of God and knows His power and knows His omnipotence and knows His healing power. Some man that's trained to know the living God. It's all right to train him by the Word, but the letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. And before we can have this revival, God has to call out and train man, God-trained man, to carry this message. And they don't care what the opposition is. They are willing to go to the fiery furnace in defeat or to the lion's den or wherever it may be. They're ready to go because they've been in the presence of God and know that He is. Whether it's to victory or defeat, they still stand the same. That's the kind of training God does to man. And it's very strange to think that God would do that. That God trains His man like that. But He does. You know, we have an old song we sing. Some through the waters, some through the floods, some through deep trials, but all through the blood. God leads His people through great trials to purge them. And sometimes it takes years to do it. And as for myself tonight, I believe that right now God is training such man. Amen. To meet the front line. Men who are going through and times shook from their feet. Sometimes look like the whole thing's falling. But yet in the midst of it all, they know that living God and keep their face forward. Amen. Keep moving on. And many people praying for a revival, I wonder if there's sometimes, if those who are praying, if their own prayers don't stop up the wells of blessings, when they're cowardly and afraid to trust God, afraid to take Him at His Word, afraid to believe that He still lives today, when His Bible plainly says that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't call very seldom the smart man, the educated, the intellectual. They play their part. And they're a great man. But usually when God wants the job done, He gets somebody who hardly knows His ABCs. Search the Scriptures. Look through the histories. man that mounted to something with God were not men who had great educations, but men who had no education, only a desire in their heart to serve God. He got the plowman, the shepherd, the fisherman, the hunter, those who lived in nature, in that stillness and quietness of nature, there God could speak to them. And that's who he called. And if they find that when he gives a call to a great intellectual, that person finally goes back to his intellectual conceptions, and after a while, when it comes to working the phenomenal, he's too mixed up with the peoples of the world to accept such.
Amen.
Therefore, he finally results to a denomination and goes on off and makes a minister. And that's all right. And I have nothing against that person that would do that. But when God gets ready to do something in the supernatural realms, he usually gets a man that he can put his trust in and anoints him and sends him out, and he's fearless at the job. That's the kind of man we need today. Not polished scholars, but men who know God in the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
For instance, there was a man in the Bible by the name of Moses who had got all of his training. He knew all of the theology. He knew everything that he should know. If he didn't need any education, he could teach the masters in Israel or in Egypt. He didn't need one thing. And the Bible tells us that he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Well, he could teach their scholars. He could teach their scientists things. He was key to the very point when it come to intellectual. But yet it's taken God 40 years to beat all that out of him out there in the sands.
Amen.
And when he got all of his intellectual conceptions of God beat out of him out there in the sands, the metal was ready to be molded over. That's the way God takes his man and beats out all of their fears and all of their intellectuals. And then the great master potter puts them on the wheel and begins to mold them over again.
Amen.
Workman worthy. It's God's man. Who could train a man more than God himself? Watch the way he trains them. We would think again of another by the name of David. God was training David when he was just a little boy. The prophet Samuel come up and poured oil on his head and anointed him because God was going to train David to be a mighty warrior. And look at the training he gave him. I was reading some time ago up here at Green's Mill, where I usually go to pray, where God said to David, "I took you from the sheep cote, from following those few sheep of your father's out there, and I made you a great name like great man of the earth." And I think of the rugged training he did to David. Never so much as school him in some school, but he schooled him in his own school. David was a hunter and a shepherd. And in the Psalms he wrote of green pastures and still waters. Because there he was alone by himself. He wasn't contaminated with the things of the world. God has to get a man away from the things of the world so he can get him quiet, so he can listen to God, that still small voice. Then once in contact with God, he becomes fearless then. Notice that he don't care what anyone says. He's been in the presence of God.
Amen.
He knows God in the power of his resurrection. And then David, we see him one day, God permitted a bear to come in and get one of his sheep. David just took after that bear. No doubt but what he prayed, because a little later on he confessed to it. And he prayed and asked God. He was caretaker over that sheep. He cannot lose that sheep. And he must save that sheep at all price. And he grabbed his little slingshot and took after that bear and killed him. He must save that sheep. You see what God was training him for? God wants his shepherds to save the sheep regardless what he has to be called and what he has to go through.
Amen.
Save them sheep.
Praise God.
Then he seen that David was gallant over this bear, so he just raised the power of the animal a little greater. And he sent a lamb, a lion in and took one of the lambs. And a lion is a fierce animal. Oh, in Africa when I was hunting them, a lion can kill 10 men before you can say Jack Robinson. Oh, powerful, great beast. This is a big roar, and this man are consumed. And the one who dies under the power of a lion never feels any hurt. It's such a scare to hear that roar as he gives. Those great mammoth feet, just in a second he's tore down a dozen men. And to think of a little boy. The Bible said he was ruddy. That means he was just a little bitty fella with a little slingshot. You know what it is, a little piece of leather with a string on each side. And a hungry lion with already the taste of blood in his mouth running and grabbed this sheep. David looked up to God and said, I can't lose that one. You help me, Lord. And he knocked the lion down with the slingshot. And when the lion rose up against him, that little boy and the lion weighed about 500 pounds or better. That little boy weighed maybe 70 or 80. He pulled from his little belt the knife, and when the lion raised up, which had killed 10 men in a couple of slaps, he grabbed the lion by the beard and killed him.
Praise God.
Courage. God don't want cowards. He can't use you if you're afraid to take his word and believe him. He wants gallant man. Won't pay no attention to nothing but what the Lord says.
Amen.
That's the kind he has to move with. Regardless of what the church says, what the pastor says, what the church stands for, each stands for God and righteousness in his word.
Amen.
That's the man we God will send these days for his revival that his people are praying for. Later in years, when he went up to meet his brothers at the battle, there was a big old giant up there, 14-inch fingers. And he bragged and he said, now let somebody come fight me. If you can whip me, I'll surrender. And vice versa, and we'll serve. Whoever who surrenders, of course, will be the one who loses. That's the way the devil likes to do it. When he thinks he's got the edge on you, he'll tell you, you can't get by with that. You can't preach divine healing in the Methodist Church. Baptist Church, will you Methodist preachers just get a hold of God one time and find out whether you can or not? You'll never do it with your theology that they teach. You'll have to get a hold of God and know that he is.
Praise the Lord.
They say the Pentecostal people, a few years ago there was a bunch of people standing on the corner, not even a building they could get into. But did you read Life magazine the other day? What they said about him? It's one of the greatest phenomenons this age has ever known. It's a rising of the Pentecostal church.
Amen.
Certainly. And they produce more converts in 1 year than all the rest of churches do put together. That's what Life magazine said. Why? They may be mixed up in some things. But brother, they're gallant.
Amen.
Stand out there toe to toe and call black, black, and white, white. When the revival finally breaks, it'll break among them. You watch and see if it doesn't. It'll get straightened down one of these days. And David, when Saul put his armor on him and said, David, if you're going to fight this giant, said, well, you're nothing but a boy. Just a youth, and he's been a warrior from his youth. How can you fight him? Listen to this little David. You see, he did not say it like this. Saul, your honor, sir. My father sent me to the grammar school, college, high school. I have a PhD. I'm equipped to do this. I'm a smart man. He never said it like that. He said, my Lord, he said, when I was herding my father's sheep out yonder, a bear come in and got one and I killed him. And a lion come in and got one and I knocked him down. And when he raised up, I slew him. And he said, the God that delivered me from the paws of the bear and the lion can also deliver me out of that hands of that uncircumcised Philistine.
Hallelujah.
A God-trained man. There stood Saul with all the training that any man could have to know how to fight. David didn't know nothing about a sword. He didn't know nothing about a shield. Well, Saul went and put his great big armor on him, and little David was standing bow-legged almost. You found out that his ecclesiastical vest didn't fit a man of God.
Hallelujah.
It smashed him down. And all of our creeds and things won't never match God's equipment yonder. Oh, how we could go on and say many different ones. But straight to our text to hurry. Elijah was getting old. And he knew it wouldn't be long until he'd have to leave the world. And God had found a man that was an honest man, that was a good man. His name was Elisha. Now, if you notice, one of them's name is Elijah, and the other is Elisha. Now, he never went down into the farms and so forth and went and found in the schools of theology and up in the great high schools of those days. What did he do? He went out into the field and found a man plowing with 12 yoke of ox. What? Elisha, the one was plowing, knowed how to appreciate a straight row.
Hallelujah.
And he knowed if he turned and looked back, he'd wiggle off the road.
Amen.
And God knows that a man that knows how to plow straight first knows not to put his hands on the plow and even turn to look back. He never waited till he got his education, wiggled along the road. He just killed the oxen, made a sacrifice, and took off with Elijah as soon as that mantle went over him. He was ready, willing. God knowed he could make him able. Now God's got to give him some training. He's been training how to keep his eyes on the furrow with 12 yoke of ox and one man plowing with him. He taught him some patience. How to be patient and train those ox to walk straight in the line. He had trained some men afterwards. Keep them on the Bible, on the Word, lined up with God. Stay straight in the line. And then even God had to school him a little bit. He said, now you tarry here, for I'm going over to Gilgal. The Lord has called me. And the prophet, after he had felt that power upon him, that robe of Elijah, he said, as the Lord liveth and your soul liveth, I'll not leave you. Went on to Gilgal, which is the place of Christian confession and baptism. And then he said, just stay here now. This is good enough. You've made confession and baptism. This is good enough. I'm going up to Bethel, which means the house of God. Now, that would have been all right for a many professor. Well, I've just come into the church and got fellowship. Why not just stay right here? But listen, Elisha couldn't think that way. He'd already felt the power of God. He knew there was more for him. So he said, as the Lord liveth and your soul liveth, I'll not leave you. Oh, how I like that.
Amen.
And he went up to the Bethel, to the house of God. And there he found a bunch of scholars. They were all well-trained preachers. And they walked around and told him, said, sir, do you know what? You're on the little end of the stick. Did you know Elijah's going to be taken away from you? He's too old. He can't live very long. Elijah's going to be taken. And you're going to be standing out there as a fanatic. Let me tell you something now. A man that's ever tasted God will not be willing or cannot quench his thirst at a man-made cistern. He can't do it. They're all their theology that they had there at the school of the prophets would not quench the thirst of that man of God who had had a taste of God. And they kept persuading him. Oh, you should stay here. Why, in 6 weeks we could give you your PhD. And you know, it wouldn't be very long till you take about 4 years of training here. And we could give you the right to preach. You know, if you proved out to be all right, we'd send you out in our denomination. That won't satisfy a man of God.
Praise the Lord.
We'll train you to be a minister. If you'll just stay with us about 4 or 5 years, he didn't have time for that kind of stuff. He was on his way to that fountain.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't come about that.
Hallelujah.
It done had a taste of heaven in his soul.
Hallelujah.
And he said, do you know your head's going to be taken away? And listen to what he said. Yes, I know it, but hold your peace. In other words, save your breath. Don't try to tell me about it. Don't try to tell me what I'm doing. I know where I'm going and what I'm after.
Amen.
God give us men like that. God trained man. Who knows not to wiggle off on this and wiggle off on that. I know where I'm going. And don't speak to me about it. Just hold your breath. Don't try to discourage me because it isn't going to do any good. Oh, if the people it's prayed for would just have that much courage. Oh, the days of miracles is past. That wasn't real. You watch. You'll get sick again. Just hold your breath. Don't tell me nothing about it. I'm moving on. The revival's coming. God's promised it. Oh, you sons of God, move out into that sphere yonder. Fearless. Fearless. Take God at His word. I know He's going to be taken away. But that isn't what I'm... You haven't got nothing here to interest me. All your degrees and PhDs and Bachelor of Art and all this stuff doesn't satisfy me. Just hold your breath. Well, you're going to crack up out there. Well, if I crack up, let me crack up. I'm on my road. On he was going. You can't make it go over. I know I can't make it go over, but God's going to take me over, he said.
Amen.
Well, Elisha's going to Jordan. I'm going with him.
Amen.
God requires Jordan in every life.
Praise God.
So Elisha come around and said, now, Elisha. Elijah said to Elisha, you're just a young man, perhaps something like this. And really, you haven't had any schooling. The old prophet was trying to try him out. He said, you're just a young man. You haven't had much schooling. Why, you don't, it's really, you haven't had a grammar school education. The only thing you know to do is how to plow.
Yeah.
So, you better stay here and get your Bachelor of Art. See? You better stay and get your degree. But not Elisha. Not that man who once touched God. Felt that power of the anointing upon him. He said, as the Lord lives and your soul never dies, I'll not leave you.
Amen.
He had a purpose. He saw the vision. He knew what was going to take place. And they both went down to Jordan. Jordan means death. There they stand, the old man and the young man. It really represents Christ and His church. And there they stood by the Jordan. There she is coming down out of the Judean hills. The great ripples are roaring like that. And Elisha with his gray hair hanging down his back and his dimmed old eyes looking across Jordan, and the young man watching every move that he made. One, the young man was waiting for a vision to carry out the will of God. The other was going home. There's both at Jordan. Elisha to him, he's going home. Elisha had a bitter life. That woman preacher down there gave him a rough way to go. Jezebel. And Ahab. And the stones. And all that he had went through. Elisha was getting tired. And he knew that he had fought a good fight. And he had finished the course. Just across Jordan, his retirement laid.
Praise God.
But Elisha was watching for that spirit within him. So if you notice, every believer, when you come to a place where you have to set up, you feel the cold waves of Jordan lapping at your feet. Are you going to cross or are you not? Jordan is separation. Separating and standing back on the hill was these preachers yet hollering to Elisha, "You better not go over. You're going to go overboard." You hear them remarks yet today. Well, Elisha said, "If God is God, and that's His promise, I've got to take His place. I need His Spirit to do it with. I don't need their school. If their school would have done it, they'd be taking His place. But God called me to do it, and I need His Spirit."
Amen.
If the schools of the churches would have took the place and the power that Jesus offered, it would have took it years ago. Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, but it will never do it.
Amen. Oh, amen.
It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ in you across Jordan of every denomination behind it, everything else, and stand alone with God. So he stood with him at Jordan. Elisha looking up there, knowing somewhere across there, God would meet him. And he took off his robe and he looked around to the young man. And he smote the Jordan. And when he did, the Jordan opened up and they walked over on dry land. See, the Jordan ain't so bad after all.
Amen.
If there's something with you to open up the way.
Amen.
Oh, when they hit the other side.
Praise God.
Hooked to every bush was a horse and a chariot. The King of Kings had sent an escort to bring Elijah up home. It's all over for Elijah. He'd had enough of it, about 80-something years of fussing with them people down there and having to go through hungers and strifes and everything else. He was ready to go home. And he looked around to Elijah. And Elijah wanted to see a vision. Oh, he had all the schooling back there. He could have stopped that. They wasn't getting nowhere. God was going to train him his own way. So when he looked over there, looked all them bushes hooked around there, these chariots of fire and horses of fire, it done something to Elijah. He saw a vision. Yes, brother. And when God taken Elijah up, he came back with the double portion of his spirit.
Hallelujah.
He was ready for the revival then. Notice the man then being just a plowboy before. God made his name immortal. All the prophets that stood around watching him had to bow to his feet because he had the power of God upon him. There's coming an hour when God shall make the world bow at the feet of men and women who has plunged through and crossed Jordan and separate themselves from the things of the world.
Amen.
Brother and sister tonight, whatever you do, whatever you think, you cross Jordan with God. Go on over, separate, leave the world behind. Let God train you for His own service. We are living in a day before this revival. But God's searching out, trying to find hearts. Look, He found a man by the name of Paul. Oh, self-styled Pharisee, but he had to work him over life before he could become a disciple. Look what he done all down through the ages to man. He had to take them and pump their theology out of them. And Paul, as soon as he saw the vision, he didn't go up to Jerusalem to Gamaliel, the great teacher, the greatest in Israel that he had been taught by. He never went back to him to consult him. Why, never even went to Jerusalem for 14 years later. But he went out to Egypt in a prayer meeting. There God let him write many books of the New Testament. See, God's looking for man. He had somebody who wanted to write that testament. So he just chose Paul, and he just got all the theology.